Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Well, this morning, I'm so thankful to be able to be in the house of God. And this morning, we actually have joining us via technology, our Catawba campus. Matter of fact, just as a way of welcoming them, can we just clap our hands and acknowledge and welcome our Catawba campus? So happy to be able to be together today via technology. And for everyone who is at our Catawba campus, I just want to say that we really are one church in multiple locations. And in this season, we are praying for Pastor Scott and Heather, and we're praying for you, that the grace of God, the comfort of God, through His Spirit would guard your hearts and minds, and that God would give you and us collectively, one church, multiple campuses, the wisdom that we need to be able to walk in this season, receiving from God victory and healing in every way. And so once again, we're so thankful to have you with us today, and I'm believing that everyone who's here at our Catawba campus, watching online, that God really does have something He wants to speak to us today. And so if you got a Bible, 2 Kings chapter 5. If you got a Bible, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're in this series that we've been in for the last number of weeks that we've simply entitled Unstuck, Moving Past the Past. Because here's the reality. Every single one of us has a past. Every single one of us has a past. Whether you grew up and you had an amazing childhood and your entire life, it's been like butterflies and unicorn and rainbows and sprinkles. It's just been like you've had the best life ever. Or maybe you've grown up and you had a really rough childhood. It seems like you have not been afforded any advantages that from your perspective, everybody else has been afforded. And you just feel like life's been hard. Whether it's been good or bad, the reality is all of us have a past. All of us do. And all of us in our past, to one degree or another, have experienced pain, have experienced discouragement, have experienced frustration, things that have been a disappointment. The Bible says this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Disappointment makes the heart sick. And whether your past has been good or it's been bad, the reality is all of us have a past. And what happens for so many people is we get stuck in a moment. I was telling my wife this morning part of what I was going to preach, and I was using this example. I said, you know, even if it was back in 1982, and she goes, hold on. 1982 was a very long time ago. She goes, let's update that because I wasn't even alive in 1982. I said, good point. And so we'll move to 2002. Maybe it happened in 2002, 22 years ago. It's amazing how something can happen and we just get stuck there. And even though the years go by, time goes by, life moves on the inside, we can stay stuck in a moment. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're stuck in a moment until something happens. Someone says something, something comes to our attention, and we feel that pain of that wound that never got healed. And the problem with being stuck in our past is that we're not fully able to move forward into the future that God has for us. And really, the heart of this series is asking the question, is there a way that God can bring healing to our life from the inside out? Is there a way that any area where we have felt stuck or we feel like we are stuck right now, is there a way that God could actually heal us, that God could help us, that God could help us from the inside out move forward, move past our past? And we started the series by just saying this, definitively, yes. We serve a God, Old Testament to New Testament, who is a healer, who is a chain breaker, a God who has the supernatural ability to do what we cannot do. And definitively, wherever you are today, whatever you're going through, whatever your past has or hasn't been, definitively, the reality is you are not stuck. You might feel stuck, but I'm telling you, you're not stuck. You might seem stuck, but I'm telling you, you're not stuck. You're not stuck because we serve a God who has the ability to break you free, to break you out, to bring healing, to bring provision, to do what you cannot do for yourself and to help you move past your past. But the reality and really what the series is helping us understand is that while God is a healer, while God is a provider, while God can and does do supernatural, miraculous, instantaneous things, God's also a God of process. And oftentimes the healing that we need, oftentimes the areas where we feel stuck and we're trying to break free, it's not an instantaneous moment that breaks us free, but rather a process that God begins in our life. Pastor Gil talked about last week how we have to get beneath the surface. We have to get beneath the surface because we're really good at like treating the symptoms, aren't we? Like I got an anger problem. I got to figure out how do I stop just freaking out and screaming. And let's address that. But let's also realize that it's not really an anger problem. It's something much deeper. This symptom, this thing I see on the surface, it's just an indication of what the Bible says, that our entire life comes from our heart. The Bible goes, out of the abundance of your heart, your whole life is lived. I remember I've told this story before, but I was in middle school and I'm a pastor's kid, which just means that I've been at church a lot and I've done a lot of setup and a lot of cleanup and a lot of other stuff. And I was late at church one Sunday. I was helping the youth pastor tear down, and we were stacking chairs, and he was wearing sandals and he had stubbed his toe really bad. And he goes, "Heart check." And I'm like, I've never heard this cuss word before. Is this a new Christian heart check? And I said, "Pastor Mark, why'd you say heart check?" He goes, "Oh, because I'm reminding myself my whole life comes from right here. If it comes out of my mouth, it's because it was in here. My whole life, my worldview, my perspective, my entire life, it is lived from within. And so if I want to get healed, if I want help, if I actually want to get unstuck, I gotta stop addressing the symptoms." Like real quick parenting hack. What you feel like you're dealing with your kids, I promise you, it's beneath the surface, not above the surface. I promise you, you might see it here, but it's deep down here. And if we really want to get unstuck, we need to go, "God, I need you to help me to realize what's going on in here." And today, as we continue the series, I'm going to kind of give you the punchline at the very beginning of the sermon. I'm going to kind of just tell you what the sermon is so that we can really like absorb it as we get into it. But what I want to talk about today, and what I want you to realize, is that part of being healed and part of allowing God to help us get unstuck, it's learning to cooperate with God. It's learning to follow his instructions. It's learning to be obedient to the things that he has commanded. How many of you, just by show of hands, I know it's the 9 a.m., I don't know where you are online today, but just by show of hands, how many of you can acknowledge that in a lot of areas of life, it is important to follow the instructions? Okay, like all of us, okay. And online too, I love the hands, thank you so much. But instructions matter. In fact, I was a week or so ago, I was on a golf trip with a bunch of guys, and the golf was not great, but the trip was awesome. And it was 8 guys, myself included. We were all staying, you know, kind of at this Airbnb. And I was the first one up every single morning. That is not me bragging. That is me saying, "God, help my body clock, because I cannot sleep in for the life of me. I think my kids have done this to me." But again, it's beneath the surface. I'll let God deal with that. But I was the first one up. And so what did I do? I make coffee every morning. And a couple people mentioned, like, "Man, the coffee's strong." And I thought it was a compliment. I'm like, "Thank you. Thank you. That's how I like my coffee. It's a strong cup of coffee." And it wasn't until the last day we were there, one of the guys goes, "How is this entire bag of coffee gone? This should last like weeks. We've been here 48 hours. Who's been making the coffee?" And I'm like, I've been making the coffee." "Well, what have you been doing?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I feel like I learned somewhere. You do one heaping tablespoon per cup. So it's like a 14, 12, whatever cup thing. I've just been filling it up." And one of the guys is like, "That's why, like, on the first tee every day, my hand is doing this. Because I'm like, did you read the instructions?" "No, I didn't read the instructions. It's coffee." But the instructions clearly said I was doing it wrong. And honestly, that's just the way that we live life in a lot of areas. We can't figure out why we're not getting the result we want. We can't figure out why what God has promised and things we know to be true in Scripture aren't happening. And simply because we haven't taken time to say, "God, am I following instructions? God, am I cooperating with what you are wanting to do in my life? God, am I actually listening?" Like, just test. If I were to ask you this question this morning, what is it right now that God is asking you to do? Could you answer the question? And most of the time, for most people, it's like, no. Honestly, I haven't really considered to even ask and know to realize that maybe in every season, God's actually giving me some instructions. God's actually trying to speak to me. God's actually trying to help me to get unstuck, help me to move forward in areas, and he's doing it through giving instructions. I heard one pastor say this, that God most often answers prayers with instructions and commands. Oh, we want God to just answer prayers with miracles. We want God to just answer prayer with instantaneous bolts of lightning, but God most often answers prayers with instructions and commands. And I ask you to open up with me today to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to read the first 15 verses today. It's a story of, about a man named Naaman. And the reason I kind of gave you all of that on the front side is because I want you to see in this story how the key to Naaman getting unstuck, the key to Naaman being healed, was Naaman following instructions. Was Naaman simply listening to what God was telling him through the man of God, Elisha, and following the instructions. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, verse 3, if only the master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I've sent Naaman my servant to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. So it was that when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. I love this. Elisha doesn't even come out to him. Elisha sends a servant, one of the interns. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands all over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abna and the Phephar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And a servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to, notice this, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides. And he came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. The story of Naaman really is a lot more relevant to you and I than I think we care to admit. Because the Bible says in the New Testament that we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know what that means? That means that so much of our walk with God requires us to believe something we can't see. That so much of our relationship with God and following him requires us to live in a way, to do certain things, to develop patterns and priorities, to live in a way that does not make sense to us in the natural or on the surface. Because here's the reality. If you could connect the dots, if it made sense to you, if you fully understood all how it connected and how it worked, it wouldn't require faith. And yet the Bible says that we live by faith, not by sight. And the reason I think the story of Naaman is so relevant to you and I is because so often God begins to speak to us like he does to Naaman, and he tells us to do things that maybe we don't even want to acknowledge is actually God speaking because it doesn't make sense to us. Here's a man named Naaman, and he has leprosy. He's a mighty man of war, mighty man of valor. He's got success and maybe charisma and all the accolades, and yet he has leprosy. He has this thing he cannot move past. One of the servant girls goes, well, why don't you just go down to Israel? If there's a man of God in Israel, just go down to Israel and you'll be healed. He goes down, and through a process from the king to Elisha, he goes down and Elisha sends a servant out and says, hey, just go wash in the Jordan 7 times. That's all you got to do. Just go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now, just to be clear, the Jordan River does not have like supernatural magic power. In fact, the Jordan River is not even a super clean river. That would be like if you traveled here today from the Fiji Islands and you had something going on and I said, oh, all you got to do is go dip in Lake Wiley 7 times. You'd be like, bro, but are you sure that's water though? And I mean, the Jordan River is not a nice river. And he goes, this is ridiculous. I thought he was going to come out to me. I thought he was going to wave his hands. I thought he was going to, you know, have something powerful to say. And instead, he sends a servant to go ask me to, we're out of here. And Naaman was this close to remaining stuck forever. He was this close to remaining stuck right where he was, with what he had. He was, but his servant goes, hold on. If he would have told you to do something spectacular, you would have done it. Why won't you just do the very simple thing? Isn't it funny how, as believers, we're often drawn to that which is spectacular, that which sounds really cool? Can you believe so-and-so is going over here? They're doing this, and yet in the very simple things that God's asked us to be obedient to, we kind of snub our nose. That's not relevant. And thank God for his servant who goes, man, why don't you just go wash, man? Like, it's simple instructions, just obey. And what did the story tell us? That Naaman goes, and by simply obeying the thing that God was asking him to do, by simply following the instructions, Naaman goes from being stuck to being unstuck. He goes from having an incurable disease to being supernaturally healed. Could it be possible that so much of our life, so many of the areas where we feel stuck, so much of the need we have right now, that us receiving from God healing, us receiving from God the miracle we need, us getting unstuck, it's predicated on us following simple instructions and commands? Let me just ask you again. What is it right now that God is asking you to do? One of the things that I just felt prompted to start praying, this is a number of years ago, is whenever someone came to me with a need, or I'm praying just for my own need, I don't just pray to ask God, Lord, would you heal me? God, would you provide for this? I'm not just praying for the need, but I always pray this prayer. And God, give us wisdom to know what to do. God, I know you can heal. I know you can provide. I know it seems impossible, but I know you can get us out of this. But here's the question, God. I'm aware that for me so often to experience that, I have to cooperate with what you're wanting to do in my life. So God, I'm not just praying for healing today. God, I'm not just praying for provision today. God, I'm not just praying for X, Y, and Z today. I'm praying for wisdom today. God, help me to know what to do. Help me to know when to do it. Help me to know how you're asking me to come into alignment with your ways, with your word, with your will, so I can cooperate and experience everything that you have for me. Here's the question though. So like, how do we do that? How do I follow the instructions? The title of the sermon today, by the way, it is Follow the Instructions. How do I follow his instructions? I want to give you very simply today three very quick thoughts on how we follow his instructions. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. We have to follow the instructions of the scripture. We got to follow the instructions of the Scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, it says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, may be made complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible tells us this is not just like black ink on a white page. This is not just a history book about God. This is the actual living, breathing words of God. And can I just say, I would say it is near impossible in any circumstance to know what God is saying until you know what God has said. Have you ever heard someone just like say something real weird that they felt like God was saying to them? I'm a pastor, obviously, I'm up here. And I've had so many people over the years be like, man, pastor, I want to share this with you, man. God's been speaking to me. And it's not always appropriate because they're not always asking. But so often in my mind, I'm like, man, like you're Looney Tunes, man. Like where are you getting this? And well, how do you know, Brandon? Who are you to say that's not what God is saying? Well, I'm not perfect, but I have a pretty good grasp on what God has already said. And if we want to know what God's saying, we first have to say, God, what is it you have said revealed in Scripture? Did you know that Scripture, by the way, that it is way more practical than like we give Scripture credit for? We won't read all these, but I just wanted to throw some practical examples up here. I'm going to go to my notes just because those words are small and these eyes are not getting better. But the Bible, all through Scripture, these literally, they just came to mind. They're in no particular order. There's no particular significance to how I ordered them. But listen to some of these. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Man, I just don't feel like lately God's been speaking to me. Well, you've been asking? You've been knocking? Have you've been seeking? Oh, just really busy. I don't know, man. There's some really practical instructions in Scripture that say you got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. The Bible says if your brother sins against you, then very practically, go and tell him. Hey man, you got something going on, you can't work out. You should probably go have a conversation. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, bring all your tithe into the storehouse. Man, I got a need. We got something right now, we're trying to figure out financially. Well, have you been honoring God or following the instructions given in Scripture for how to steward your finances? The Bible says, call for the elders of the church and have them pray for you and anoint you with oil. Man, we're really going through it. Oh man, have you gone to receive prayer? Nah, I'm not really into that. Follow the instructions. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Man, I just battle in my mind sometimes, just fear and anxiety. And have you been setting your mind with intentionality on the things of God? The Bible says, let not this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. Put away all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things in prayer and supplication. My point is not any of these. My point is the Bible is chock full of practical instructions. The Bible cover to cover is not just some theoretical, philosophical book about God. No, it is chock full of practical instructions that God has given us. And in every season, in every circumstance, we have to say, God, I don't want to be stuck. But part of me being unstuck, it's not just praying and believing for you to supernaturally break me free. It's me coming back and saying, all right, God, give me wisdom. Help me through your Spirit to know from the Scripture where are the areas that I'm just not following instructions? Where are the areas where the bag clearly says for every 2 cups of coffee, do 1 tablespoon? That I've been doing like heaping tablespoons for every cup. I'm not getting, like you said, God, that you're my healer. You're my provider. You said, Lord Jesus, that you're the one who can break me free. You set the captives free. I'm not experiencing that. So help me, Lord, through the Spirit of God, to go to the scripture and say, God, I need to follow instructions. Because often what I need, the key to being unstuck, it's listening and following what you're telling me. I love this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. The Bible says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. But pause real quick. Give attention to my words. Oh, we give attention to a lot of things. Can I ask you, have you been giving attention to his words? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear. Lean in. Listen. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to this. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Hold on for a second. So that just means it's not just like a one-time thing. This is a pattern of living that God is saying, that I'm supposed to be attending my ear, inclining my ear and leaning into to his sayings, to his words, continually not letting them depart from my eyes, keeping them in my heart. Verse 22, I love this. For, because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I'm not saying by any means this is like a end all be all. But I'll just tell you so many times that I'm in pastoral counseling sessions or I'm talking with people and they are just pouring their heart out. Man, I feel stuck. I feel angry. I feel like this is never gonna change. It doesn't take but about 15, 20 minutes to go, man, this isn't the end all be all. I'm not saying that it's not a process. There are just so many areas where you're just out of alignment. You want things to go the way that God's promised. You just don't want to go the way he's instructed. Naaman was so close to missing the miracle. He was so close to staying stuck where he was forever. I don't like that instruction. Thought it was going to be something cooler. That's not what I want to do. Jesus spoke to religious leaders, and here's what he said. He said, man, that's tough. You guys make null and void all the power of God because of your traditions. Oh, we got so many traditions. Well, I mean, this is just the way that we do things. Could it be possible the way you do things has made null and void the power of God in your life? I mean, this is the way that our family is. Cool. Do you love the results? Maybe consider that just the way we do things. This is the way that culture is in our city. I don't know, man. Because Jesus seemed to indicate to a whole bunch of religious leaders, you know, the issue is your traditions. Your traditions they're messing up and making null and void all the power of God in your life. We got to follow the instructions of Scripture. And secondly, you can write this down. We have to follow the instructions of what God is speaking to us personally. Some scriptures I'll read to you. James chapter 1, verse 5. I love this scripture. It says this, that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James goes, anybody who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. When's the last time you didn't just pray for what you need, but you prayed for wisdom? God, we are stuck right here. And I would love if you just came down and bada bing, bada boom, boom, done. But also I want to cooperate with you. And I know that while you are my healer, you are my provider, you are the one who can break the captive free, that it's not always on my terms, it's on your terms. And so God, would you not only bring what I need, but God, would you give me wisdom? The Bible goes, anyone who lacks wisdom, I don't know what to, let him ask of God who gives freely and liberally to all without reproach. Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. Now, it sounds very simple, but let's think in for a second. It does not say that Google gives wisdom. Can I tell you, I Google so many things. This morning, on the drive here, not me, because I was driving, don't cool it. But my wife, who was next to me, we did like 20 Google searches, 20. Because one of my daughters had a dream about like some snakes, and that led to a conversation like, well, how many different colors are the snakes? And I said, there's a snake for every color. And my wife goes, no, there's not. I said, name a color. And so some of them had to have been Photoshopped, but I think that I won the argument. But we're always Googling stuff. The Bible doesn't go, for Google gives wisdom. For my education has given me wisdom. There's wisdom in some of that. But the Bible says it's the Lord who gives wisdom. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. And from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I wish, and I really do, because it'd make being a pastor so much easier. I wish there was like a magic solution to this. But can I tell you, you just can't get around the need for you and I personally, individually, to spend time with God. Did you know that I can't spend time with God for you? And you can't spend time with God for me? I just don't know what to do. Have you spent time with God and asked God? Because from his mouth comes wisdom. He's the one who gives. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We cannot substitute going to God and saying, God, speak to me. God, talk to me. Why? But how do I know if it's God or not? Oh, because we have the scripture. And God will never say anything that's out of alignment with what he's already said. And so I'm trying to live a life just following the instructions of the scripture and daily saying, God, as I'm studying the scripture, would you speak to me personally and individually and help me to know what it is you're asking me to do? And number three, you can write this down. We not only need to follow the instructions of the scripture and follow the instructions of what God's speaking to us, but we got to follow the instructions all the way. When did Legos, by the way, become so complicated? These Legos are elaborate, man. And my son got some Legos. This was a number of weeks ago. And I thought I basically got it all. And so we stopped following the instructions. We did like half instructions, half just figuring it out. And we had so many leftover pieces. We could have built a whole other Lego set with the leftover pieces. And so often, Pastor Gil says this often, it's not that you're not doing the right thing. It's that you're not doing it long enough. It's not that you're not doing the right thing. You just weren't doing it long enough. Dr. David Shibley, a great man of God, he says this, that consistency eventually works exponentially. Oh, I love that quote. Because I don't know about you, but I often forget the eventually part. I'm like, yeah, man, consistency works exponentially. So give me about 2 weeks in the gym, and I'm going to be looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, bro. Consistency, right here, eventually works exponentially. I love that quote because that really is the scripture. We won't be on the screen, but I quoted earlier Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to from the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll from the spirit reap everlasting life. And verse 9 says, and do not grow weary in well-doing. And do not grow weary in well-doing, for if you do not lose heart, you will eventually receive all that God has promised. James 1:22 says this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I certainly don't want to burst your bubble and ruin your brunch plans. But did you know that you don't get credit just because you're here listening? I got no credit because I was looking up good diets. I don't get credit because I was thinking about going to the gym. No, the Bible goes, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. Oh, how often are we self-deceived? Oh, no, man, I heard a great podcast. Oh, I read this great book. Oh, man, yeah, I really felt like God was speaking to me today. That's awesome because it's the starting point. But will you be a doer of God's word? will you follow his instructions and commands? James continues and says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Bible is helping us to see that scripture, it reveals to you and I the real you and I. Like you realize that we are growing into our identity, right? The Bible says that if anybody's in Christ, he is a new creation, but we're still a work in progress. That's why Hebrews goes, no, you've been forgiven, you've been sanctified, even though you're still a work in progress. We're growing into our identity. We're supposed to be growing and maturing into the fullness of who God's created us to be. The Bible says anyone who looks into God's word, he can see who he is. That's who God's called me to be. That's who I really am. I'm free. I'm healed. I have everything I need. I'm loved. I'm accepted. It reveals to us the real us. The Bible goes, but anyone who's a hearer only, it's like they go look in the mirror and they can see themselves, but then they walk away and completely forget what they saw. James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 25, the last verse that was up there. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, just the law of liberty, God is not trying to keep you bound. God is not trying to give you more rules and regulation. He's trying to break you free. He's trying to set you free. He's trying to help you get unstuck so you can live and you can be and you can experience all that he has for you. Anyone who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Brandon, how do I get unstuck? Well, let's just call it what it is. Stop saying you're stuck because you're not. God's with you. I mean, God's your healer. He's your provider. He can set you free. I'll start asking, God, so what's really going on in here? This is above the surface and I can see it. But God, is there anything beneath the surface? And God, as you begin to reveal to me what's beneath the surface, God, help me to hear your voice, to have wisdom, to know what to do, to know how to do it, to know when to do it. Oh, the Bible says God is not a God who is far off, but he is a God who is near at hand. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, if you would have only stood in my presence and heard my words would have broken you free. God is not a God far. He's a God who's near. And all we have to do is say, God, I need you to speak to me. God, I need you to talk to me. God, I'm going to start going to the scripture. I'm going to start opening the word. God, help me to see any of the instructions you've given me that I'm just not following. Help me to see any areas, God, where just my life, it's out of alignment. God, speak to me through your spirit personally. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding so I don't have to stay where I am, because just like Naaman, you're a healer who can heal. Just like Naaman, I'm not stuck with where I am. This isn't who I am forever. No, you're faithful. But like Naaman, I got to stop and listen and say, God, so speak to me. Talk to me. And as I follow your instructions, my life can move from being stuck to being, I can move past my past when I simply just start obeying and listening and following whatever he's asking me to do. Matter of fact, as we close today, can I ask you to close your eyes and bow your head wherever you are, whether you're here or watching online or at our Catawba campus. And can we just take a minute and can I pray for you and create maybe 30 seconds right here where you can maybe just under your breath, just call out to God where you are. Doesn't have to be loud or demonstrative. Come on, God hears the prayer of our heart even. Would you, right where you are, would you call out to God right here and just say, God, speak to me. Come on, God knows where you feel stuck. God knows where you feel like you're never going to move forward. God knows where you feel like this is just your lot in life. I'm telling you, you're not stuck because God is faithful. So right where we are, can we just say, God, speak to me. Lord, I pray for your people today across all of our campuses, watching online. Pray for everyone who's here today that God, you would help us to have the faith and confidence in you that we should, that we're not stuck where we are. And I pray that God, you would open the ears of our understanding, the eyes of our understanding, open our hearts, God, to see, to know, to hear from you what you're asking us to do. Lord, make our hearts sensitive. Make our ears open and receptive. Make our eyes able to see all that you want to show us, all that you want to say to us. Speak to us, God, that in following your instructions, we may be set free, that obeying your commands, we may be delivered, that we may experience the fullness of all you've promised as we simply do what you're asking us to do. Speak, Lord Jesus, to your people in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, would you stand up with me? And can we close today in a time of worship? And as we do, would it be an opportunity for you, even right where you are, to call out to God and say, God, speak to me, because God is faithful and God will speak.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.